Good evening, folks. As you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week, and I brought along one of my favorite friends.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. Good to be in touch with you all again.
Yes, we welcome you, Richard. Glad to be here. And Richard, for those who are not getting our emails to know who the guests are, can you tell people how they can get on our email list?
Yes, if you just go to our website called the2012countdown.com and you put your name and email address on the entry page of on the top or bottom of any page on that website and respond to the email that you'll receive, and as I say, Bob's your uncle.
That's easy enough. So we're looking forward to this show, Richard. Who is the guest for tonight?
Last time I checked, it was Adolf Hitler. Who have you got?
This is going to be interesting, don't you think?
I think so.
Have you connected with him?
Yes, we've been in contact. And so let me describe his energy as I experience him. Some may be surprised by this, but I have to say the essence of what I experience is love-driven. There's also quite a deal of power there. And I sense wisdom. But the overriding energy that I experience from him is love, with these other things added into it. So that's how I experience his energy. Fairly central, a little bit to the left of center, perhaps moved there by that sense of wisdom energy, as I would describe it. So that's the energy I experience.
Thank you. Does he have a message for us tonight?
I hope so. Let's see.
I hope so, too.
It is with pleasure and with a little reservation that I come forth on this radio show tonight. And I say reservation because I have a level of concern that Richard will be bringing forth my message to ears that are so indoctrinated by the message that was implanted about who and what I was after the end of the war, indeed really during the war and before it, that you will have trouble hearing what I have to say, and as a result, you will make judgments about Richard. But nevertheless, I wish to come forth and share my story as best as I am able. And I do appreciate this opportunity because it is truly, in my view, a unique opportunity to come forth in this manner. And I am aware that there have been a number of people who listen to this radio show that have requested my coming forth, and for various reasons, these two have not felt it was time or appropriate. And so I am pleased that, you might say, the wheels have aligned, in a sense, to make it possible for me to come forth and tell my story. If you reflect upon the picture which has been painted of me by history, you might call it, then you would see me as some monster in human form that was hell-bent upon overtaking and destroying much of humanity, and especially the Jewish people, without any fear or favor. Indeed, if you listen to the stories that are so carefully and strongly reinforced, I was responsible for the deaths of some 6 million Jews during the war. And I will say to you that this is simply not true. And I will give you a few things to consider as I say this to you. The first thing to look at is that I struck an agreement with the Zionists in 1933 for those Jewish people that wished to leave Germany to do so and move to Palestine and to effectively take their assets with them. And this they began to do. Quite a number of German Jewish people moved to Palestine from 1933 up to 1940, when, because of the outbreak of war, that process broke down. Now, if you reflect on that a moment, you will quickly recognize that this behavior is not the behavior of a man who wishes to destroy all Jewish people. More than that, there were quite a large number of Jewish people in the German military, some of them with quite high rank, and quite a number of whom received quite high honors, some of them the highest honors achievable in the German military. Again, this is not consistent with this picture that I was out to destroy all of the Jewish people. And the science is now complete on the subject. And the science is very clear that Auschwitz was never an extermination camp, as it was portrayed after the war. That very clearly a lot of the people who provided evidence at the Nuremberg trials after the war were lying. And a very quick example of this is to understand that cyanide poisoning, which was officially the mechanism by which we supposedly killed the Jewish people, that cyanide poisoning turns the body bright red like a lobster. And not one person who presented at Nuremberg talking about the dead bodies that they saw at Auschwitz talked about red bodies. And so it is very clear just from this example that what was being presented at Nuremberg was an outright lie. Now, there's another thread that I would like to give you in all of this, and that is that there is abundant evidence that the global press has been under the control of what I would call the Zionists, rather than Jews in general, but what I would call the Zionists, who I was opposed to, not Jewish people in general, but Zionists, that they in fact have controlled the global press since really the end of the 19th century. And so what you see, what you hear, is very carefully crafted and manipulated to tell a particular story. And this has been true really since that time. It has been recorded that I was a fan of the writings of Henry Ford. And this is true. And people don't understand why that was so. And it was because Ford could see what I could see, and that is there was a particular group of people who hid within the Jewish community, you might say, and who really manipulated the Jewish community for their own purposes, and continue to do so, I might add. who were really controlling the world. And Henry Ford could see this. And he wrote about how they were taking over the arts, and they created the movie industry, and they were breaking down the moral fiber, as I would describe it, of America. And this is exactly what was happening in Germany, particularly in Berlin after the end of the First World War, which saw Germany essentially bankrupted by the Treaty of Versailles, which was drafted by the Zionists. If you look at who attended the Paris Peace Conference at the end of the First World War, most of the delegations from around the world were made up of Jews. Now, this might surprise you when you consider the number of people, the percentage of the population in various countries made up by Jewish people. It represents some 2% of the population, and yet so often they are in positions that effectively control what goes on in countries. You might take the example of America, where Woodrow Wilson took a complete Jewish team with him. And this has been spoken about at length by Benjamin Friedman in his speech that he gave in 1961 in Washington to the Washington Press Club. And he was one of the attendees in that group, American group, that went to the Paris Peace Conference. And so he was in a position to know. And as Ford wrote, the Jewish attendees at that conference were the only ones that went with a plan. They knew exactly what they wanted to get out of the Paris Peace Conference, and they got it. They truly got it. And part of what they wanted to do was ensure that the reparations, the payments made by Germany to those countries that had defeated it, would cripple Germany for the foreseeable future. And indeed, it was very clear that it was the Zionists that actually brought America into the First World War. Individuals like Bernard Baruch were working as early as 1915, when the official policy of America was to stay out of the war, and Bernard Baruch was already working with the military to prepare the American military for the war which followed in 1917, as far as America was concerned. And as has been the case virtually without exception, there was a false flag event, the sinking of a British liner with many American passengers on board the Lusitania. That was used as a trigger to bring America into the war. So people do not understand how these Zionists have manipulated history for a long time. And their deal in bringing America into the war was a commitment from Britain to give Palestine to the Zionists. And this is essentially what is contained in what is known as the Balfour Declaration, which was written by the then Secretary of State or equivalent in Britain to Lord Rothschild, effectively granting Palestine to the Zionists in order and in exchange for the Zionists bringing America into the war. People don't understand these things. But we understood it, especially after the Treaty of Versailles was put together. We could see exactly what had happened. And we were very, as Germans, very angry about it. And really, it was from this situation where the Zionists were destroying Germany after the First World War, where Berlin became infamous globally as being You might consider a den of iniquity where anything went. You could get any kind of sex that you wanted. The city was full of communists and anyone you might consider a liberal, which of course are the things that were being driven by the Zionists to break down the cultures of Europe and America in particular, but really the globe. And they were doing exactly to Germany what Henry Ford had noticed they were doing to America. And that is why I identified with the writings of Henry Ford, because he could see what was happening to America. And I could see it was exactly the same in Germany. And it is part of what fired me up to try and do something about the situation in Germany. And many people cannot understand how it was that when the National Socialists, commonly known as the Nazis, came to power, how it was that we were able to turn the German economy around so completely and so quickly. And I will tell you that it was one very simple step. And that was, we chose to print our own money rather than borrowing it from a Federal Reserve, German Federal Reserve, which inevitably, as they are around the world, was controlled by the Zionists. We printed our own money, and we paid that money out in exchange for goods and services, which were essentially rebuilding the infrastructure of Germany. And once we paid that money out to individuals, then they bought things with it. And so it was that we, through effectively spending money that we printed, we didn't go into debt, we had no reserves to, you might say, leverage, no gold reserves or any such mechanisms, which people still talk as being the basis for an economy. But truly the issue is that governments need to reclaim their ability to print their own money and not borrow from the global bankers for the right to print money or to grant it to them. So that is what we did. We printed our own money and we put it into circulation. And that is how the autobahns that are so well known in Germany were created, and so many other aspects of German infrastructure were built very quickly, because we printed our own money just as Abraham Lincoln had done with his greenbacks, the very same. And that is why they killed Abraham Lincoln, because he was opposed to a Zionist central bank. So I paint this picture for you because it's important that you understand this. This is not a picture you will see anywhere written in any history books, because the Zionists control what is written, what is taught, what is publicized. As you perhaps know, it is illegal in many countries in Europe, including, of course, Germany, to deny or doubt the Holocaust. Quite a number of individuals have been sent to jail for questioning and doubting the story of the Holocaust. And of course, it is done to prevent the truth emerging, and that is, it is a massive lie. We were not out to kill the Jewish people. And history records that we triggered World War II by attacking the Poles, by invading Poland. The truth of the matter is that the Polish people were killing Germans who lived in those areas of Poland, because that area of Poland had been part of Germany prior to the First World War, or the end of the First World War, when the Zionists carved up Europe for their own purposes and interests. And there was an area of Germany called East Prussia, which was stuck on the other side of this strip of Poland, which effectively had been German territory, and the people that lived there were Germans. And so these people were being slaughtered. By the time that we chose to invade Poland, there were hundreds of thousands of Germans in not concentration camps, but refugee camps, primarily in Germany, who had been persecuted. And there were tens of thousands of Germans that had been killed by the Poles. And if you examine what Poles were doing this killing, it was those aligned with the Zionists. And so you might say our hand was being forced. We were triggered into this action, and we acted to protect our own people. It was never my plan to go to war with England, or indeed with the rest of Europe. I was fearful of the Soviets, the Bolsheviks in Russia, because I understood that the Bolshevik takeover of Russia was a Zionist takeover, and they were hell-bent on taking over all of Europe. As I mentioned, the city of Berlin was full of communists and Bolsheviks after the end of World War I. And one of the steps that we took as we came to power was to clear out this stench that had overtaken Berlin, and these people that were acting to destroy the heart of Germany and the values of the German people. So we acted to reclaim this. Now, if you consider the state that Germany was in after this period of having to pay war reparations that the country couldn't afford, and with most of the industry stripped out of the country and much of the coal mines stolen, controlled by France and others, we had very limited resources by which to pay these reparations. And so there was rampant inflation in Germany. All of you, I'm sure, have heard of the stories of people taking wheelbarrows of money to buy a loaf of bread, and they are real. They're very real stories. And of course, this was driven by this grip that Germany was in by the Zionists, who were out to destroy Germany's heart and to return it to serfdom. And so when we came to power and we printed our own money and we literally turned Germany around in 5 short years, in a period when the world was in depression. As you might recall, the depression began in 1929, 1930. And so it was in the early 30s that we came to power, and in 5 short years returned Germany to being an economic and industrial powerhouse of Europe. 5 years, my friends, is all it took us, because we were not having our lifeblood drained by the Zionist bankers. They are leeches on the planet, and they hide. And my action was not just to protect Germany, but indeed to attempt to protect the world from these Zionist influences. And those of you that have examined history will understand that the Rothschilds took over the financial side of Britain after the Battle of Waterloo. They got control of the Bank of England and really the whole British financial system at the time of the Battle of Waterloo. They took over the United States really at the end of the 19th century and finally cemented it completely by the introduction of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And of course, they took over Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. So when you reflect upon this, you realize that who we were fighting in Britain, America, and Russia were all countries that were under the control of the Zionist bankers. And most people do not understand this. Of course, it's very carefully hidden today. America is painted as being the great global aggressor, and Russia is kind of held as the backup. But really, they're all tools, you might say. They're all puppets of the Zionist bankers, and this is very carefully hidden by their propaganda and by their control of the media. So people have no idea. And so all of those forces were turned loose on us. And I will say that we made many overtures to Britain after we invaded that area of Poland that in historical terms was part of Germany, to protect the German nationals who were being slaughtered there. After we had completed that in a few short days, we approached Britain with peace terms. We did not want to fight anyone else. We simply wanted to protect our own people. But of course, because Britain was controlled by the Zionists and Churchill was very much under their control, there was no way that they were going to agree to any kind of peace terms. And so the picture that you've been given on World War II and the monster that I was and why is very inaccurate. Indeed, there are those who have pointed out that the number of 6 million persecuted Jews began to emerge in the press in Europe and America and Britain back as early as the 1890s and turned up in the press something like 165 times before the beginning of World War II. In other words, they'd sown into the minds of the public the notion of 6 million persecuted Jews before World War II ever began. So you need to understand the propaganda that you were inside of. And so the picture that has been painted of who I was and what I was out to do is a complete and unadulterated lie. And it saddens me greatly to see how the world has been overtaken in this way. And I will mention the Jewish people once more, because there are many Jewish people who lived in Germany who were honest, well-meaning, hard-working people. And the Jewish people in general have been a pawn of the Zionists, really going back over a long period of time. They moved the Jewish people around through Europe over hundreds of years. People do not understand this. There are reports of these pogroms where large numbers of Jewish people were killed. And certainly there are examples where there were Jewish people who were killed, but the numbers are minuscule compared with the reported numbers, again, because the Zionists controlled the press and they inflated the numbers for their own purposes. They created these stories of the persecution of the Jews by what you might call Gentiles or Goyim, depending on your perspective. And these are complete lies. I'm not saying there have not been Jewish people killed by non-Jewish people. Of course they have. But those who've been responsible for the great slaughters of people, as we saw in Russia, some 60 million people, many of them under Stalin, who was also Jewish, along with those that he followed, Lenin and Trotsky, both Jewish. And now you have in Palestine this huge slaughter of people. It has been the Zionists who've been slaughtering people, not the National Socialists of Germany under my leadership. So I wanted to share this picture with you, and I know many of you will struggle to hear my words because it runs so contrary to everything you've heard over such a long period of time. But the evidence is there if you look. You don't have to take my word for it. It has been revealed through recent writings and through recent documentaries that have begun to reveal some of this information. Now, I will also add that history records that I died in my bunker in 1945, and there have been more than rumors. There has been strong evidence come forth that, in fact, I escaped to Germany with a number of other leading German figures, and this is true. I lived out my life in Argentina and died in 1962. And indeed, there has been evidence come forth in recent years that the FBI has records of the fact that I escaped to Argentina. They knew about this from very early on. This was not hidden. And indeed, there are some Americans who had some involvement in ensuring that I was able to escape in this manner. And part of the message I wish to give you is that the world as you see it, as you are told as to how it works, is a complete illusion. Some of you will know about Operation Paperclip, which saw some German rocket scientists move to America and continue their work. But what is not well recognized is that many of those who were doing, you might say, less than ideal experiments on people, such as Joseph Mengele, also moved to America after the war and was very involved in MKUltra and Project Monarch type mind control experimentation. And I will say to you that much of that work began before my time. It began almost directly after World War I and was driven by those who control the Tavistock Institute in London. Some of you will know of the Tavistock Institute, many of you will not, and I encourage you to do some homework. It is from the Tavistock Institute, under the control of the Zionists, that these mind control experiments and this work on abusing people for many purposes was driven. And Mengele was operating under their guidance before ever the National Socialists came to power. So you need to understand this history. Again, all of this has been recast, reconstituted for the purposes of Zionist propaganda. You see, part of what they wanted to do was to make all non-Jewish people feel guilty for the Nazi maltreatment of the Jewish people. And it's a complete lie, my friends. The ones who were doing the maltreatment of people are the Zionists, including other Jewish people. So understand how your world works, my friends, and it is why I wanted to come forth in this manner. And I will say to you that if you do some homework and find people who have written, find the writings and quotes from people who knew me and worked with me that have been taken in recent years, you will find that they are almost universally supportive of what I stood for and what I tried to do, not only for Germany, but for the world. I took on the Zionists and I lost. And I make no apology for having taken them on because I could see what was happening and it is accelerated. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the connection between my time and yours, because it is a very important one. And that connection is that I had no understanding. You might say I was trying to deal with the issue that I saw from within the context with which, from which I viewed the world. And that was, I was looking at Germany, and I was looking at what was being done to Germany, and then I realized what was being done in the world by these manipulative satanic people, because they are satanic. And indeed, excuse me, it is satanic practice which is used to control the world. I'm sad to say this, but it is widespread and it goes on extensively, and the stories are out there of those who have recovered from this treatment or are in the process of recovering from this treatment as their memories return from these abuses, from these multiple personalities or alters that are created by this treatment. And so these circumstances, if you will, that I find myself was an attempt to try and, you might say, recover the world from their control. But I was unable to. But I had no idea about the time that was to emerge, the time in which you are all in, because you live in a time where those who have sought to overtake the world, which is not just the Zionists, the satanic Jews, but also those who are willing to do their bidding, who are no less satanic in their practice, but are not necessarily Khazar Jews, as the core of this group is. But really, they are what you would call the dark, and they, in many cases, have a connection back to the dark priests in Atlantis. I have come to understand this. But also, they are seeking to overtake the world. They are seeking to have a one-world government. And really, although they have been discredited, Henry Ford published the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which were written in the late 19th century from older documents. And I assure you they are accurate. And if you take the time to read them, you will understand your world very well and how it has unfolded over the last 100 or so years. But you live in a time when you will see realized what it was that I was trying to achieve, except it will be achieved in a different manner. It will be achieved by a change in consciousness. It's like a door will be opened for those of humanity that wish to escape the grip of these dark, devious individuals, and they will be set free and move beyond their grip, and it will shock them. Even though on some level they know this is a possibility, they think they can overcome it, and they are hell-bent on getting their way in the short.
Thank you.
And so the message that I have for all of you is to be optimistic, to recognize you live in a special time in the world where these individuals will believe they can fulfill their target of completely overtaking the world and controlling it for their own agenda and eliminating most of the population. But my friends, I am here to tell you that they will fail. And so, in a way, your victory will be my victory. And so I watch with great interest as these events unfold. And so it is. Yes, I'm not sure whether Don got the last part of my message from Adolf Hitler, but he was saying that in a sense our victory in this time will be his victory because we have the same target, but he didn't understand that this time was coming forth. So it's going to be very interesting.
So have you finished with him, Richard?
Yes, I have, Carolyn.
Then Cynthia from California is on line one. Let's see what her question is.
Cynthia,
we're ready for your question.
Yes, my question for Adolf is, are you in fact not the great-grandson or grandson of Rothschild and the son of Schlugelbucher, who was the housekeeper of the Rothschilds? And you also, I believe, had two siblings. And therefore, does that not you make part of the Zionist family that you so attest, that you so protest, that you're actually a descendant of the Bauer or Rothschild family that are the Zionists?
It's an interesting question that you ask. And one of the things that I would suggest that you do is to look at the 9/11 story, because that is much more current for you. And if you examine the 9/11 story, you will see that there are many conflicting threads within what you might call the truth movement. That there seems to be so many debates about what's true and what's not and what really happened and what didn't happen. And what this does is it blunts the forces that are seeking to oppose the false story. And so one of the things that the Zionists are very good at doing is sowing false trails, false evidence that appears real. And so, yes, there is a story that my father, in fact, was an illegitimate Rothschild, not me, but my father. And this is not accurate. I will say to you, this is not accurate. It was a story that was planted as part of the attempt to discredit an alternative story that might emerge. And people have worked very hard to actually associate in the background what I did in Germany with being backed by the Zionists in its own way to discredit me. And I will say to you that whilst there certainly was American industry, for example, involved with the German rebuilding, that the ability of Germany to recover was certainly not driven by traditional banking funding, but rather by the mechanism that I have described, and this is documented. So you might say you look at the 9/11 example for an illustration of how they sow so many false threads to distract you from the truth of what really happened. And the truth is very, very deeply buried. And the same is true of what occurred during World War II and the time leading up to it, and indeed my personal history.
May I ask another question?
Yes.
Hello? I believe people today do know about Rothschild, and they do know about Bush and Cheney and 9/11 and the Twin Towers, and I think as a whole the people of this planet are aware of the manipulations of the Zionists and the Rothschilds and the fiat banking system. I don't think there are as many today that don't understand what's going on. I think globally people know what's going on, and that the cabal is faltering, that it's falling apart. So I think our global consciousness has shifted, that we do know about the Zionists.
Do you have a question, Cindy?
Yes, sir. Did Hitler have a son that became, I've heard this many years ago, a man that worked on the trains, a conductor? Did he have a son that survived the war?
He's saying no, he did not have a son.
Oh, okay, that must have been another lie they told. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me ask the question.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
You there, Carolyn?
Yes, I'm here. And I would like to ask a question. What does Hitler see in the near future here in the world with regards to prosperity? It seems like the financial markets are being attacked. Does he have any sense of what is going on in that direction?
As you perhaps understand, there are very carefully laid plans to lead to a one world government, to lead to a global bank, and to a single, you might say, military and police force that is global, that is essentially driven out of the United Nations, which of course is a creation of the Zionists in the first place. And so these plans are very advanced. And as you would understand, the banking system, by its definition, is built upon debt. And it has built up more and more and more debt. And you might look at the global financial crisis of 2008 as really being a contrived mechanism to drain the final resources out of the system. The resources of governments was drained and fed into the too big to fail banks. And so this was a mechanism that was used to make sure there were no reserves left. And it is my opinion that the world will see what you might consider the chickens come home to roost in the coming months, where the stock markets around the world will fall dramatically, and there will be a major breakdown in many of the banks in many countries. And this will be used as a trigger to seek to impose a global financial system that will, you might say, relieve all of this, clear all the debt out, and so on and so forth. So it is my opinion that that process will be triggered in earnest within the next few months. So it is my view that prosperity in the current terms is likely to suffer a serious beating in the short term, and those who continue in the existing consciousness will continue to struggle. And in ways, it will be part of the mechanism that will be used to illustrate the distinction between the new consciousness and the old. And so whilst this can be viewed in a negative sense, in the broader sense of those of humanity who wish to move beyond the grip of this control system, that in fact it will, in the medium term, be a very positive outcome, because that alternative will emerge, that those who wish to step out of this grip can do so.
I'd like to thank you both, Richard, for taking the information, and Hitler for coming and giving his perception of what is in our future. And so, Richard, we have 5 minutes. Is there something that you would like to discuss as far as what's on the drawing board for us?
Well, rather than in the drawing board, I'd like to look in the book cupboard, actually, because one of the things that you in particular have done is, over a period of time, create some fascinating books that we have available as ebooks these days. For example, a book that Archangel Michael gave you many years ago on the history of the earth and what was unfolding, which really, excuse me, in many ways provides the context for what we see unfolding. And I remember reading that when I first came across your work and was fascinated by its perspective and its understanding of what was going on. And there are many others that you brought forth over time. There's also my ebook, The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It, that I wrote back in about 2008 or so. And I suspect many of our listeners are unaware of that collection of books. There is a page on our 2012 Countdown website that links to them, and when I send out the email with the recording, I'll provide a link to those ebooks so that you can browse them and just see the extraordinary information which is held there.
Thank you, Richard. Roger from Nashville is online too. Roger, we are ending the show. This has to be a very quick question.
Okay, Richard, Carolyn, I have wanted you to bring Adolf Hitler onto the show for so long, and always been like kind of thinking, well, could I ask the question or could I not? Anyway, so two questions. The first part of it was actually how many Jews really got killed in those extermination camps?
Firstly, they were not extermination camps, Roger. I've already said that. They were labor camps. And the records of the Red Cross show that there were some 60,000 Jewish people that died primarily as a result of the typhus epidemic, which began in 1942. But I will add that there were at least as many Catholics died in those camps as there were Jewish people. And it is why the Zyklon B gas was actually brought into the camps, to disinfect the clothing and the bedding to get rid of the lice that were responsible for the typhus epidemic. And history does not talk about the millions, the tens of millions of people that were killed by the Russians, or does it talk about the 1.5 million German military that were essentially starved to death by the Americans in American camps after the war? This is not spoken about. Now, I'm not saying that there were not atrocities committed by some German people in the context of what was going on. Of course there were. It would be naive of me to say otherwise. And of course in wartime things go on that in peacetime one would not tolerate. But this picture that is painted of how Germany behaved is a complete piece of propaganda. And the fact that you still asked me about these extermination camps illustrates how deeply this is still embedded in your own psyche.
Richard, we have one minute, dear.
Okay, very quick. So during the time that in your rise to power...
We don't have time for this, Roger. I'm sorry. We have 1 minute and we've got to get off of air.
So thank you, Roger. Maybe next time, mate. So, Carolyn, thank you for all of your effort. I know it's been hard for you tonight. And I thank those of you that have come forth with questions. And I thank Hitler in particular for really having the courage to come forth and tell a different version of events, which, when you start to link the pieces together, makes a lot of sense. If you understand how our world works, in my opinion, what he had to say makes a lot of sense. So thank you one and all, and I thank all of you who've joined us tonight and who will listen to this as a recording.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Hitler. And thank you, BBS, for taking care of us. We do appreciate it. You make it all possible.
Indeed. Good night for now.
Good night for now.